about how at the beginning of the year, you know, on the first Sunday in January, on Monday, everybody jumps in and registers to go to the gym to lose weight and get better fit. And then literally by the third week of January, like the parking lot's empty and all the new equipment and all the things that they had set up just doesn't happen because it's just that's the way it is. And the thing is true, even I think for the church, that there's these things that we've done consistently, and they used to work and they don't. So to be honest, I spent the last 2 days with it sort of varied because people came and left based on their schedule, but Matt Skolnick, our general presbyter, pulled us together, and I now currently serve as the chairman of nominations, which is like, it's crazy, on our administrative council for the presbytery. But just trying to figure out how do we become healthy. And the sobering statistic is, and this is just on our tribe alone, there are 78 churches within our presbytery. There's actually 80 congregations. If you add what Dolly Dong is doing, the worshiping group, it's not officially a church yet at Ashland, the Chinese church. And then the plan that she has over the next couple months to establish something here in alongside us in our space. So Matt's counting those just as a way to be able to measure because they are getting, you know, there's some attractional things happening with that. But that being said, based on just the statistics, and as Presbyterians, we're very good at measuring these things, there's a good possibility that more than half of those churches that Matt's currently counting that within the next 5 years they're going to close. Now, you know, and the reality is those are people, and they're people who have given, you know, deep things to their community, and yet, and the truth is, within our tribe, the average age of one of our churches is 165 years, which is extraordinary when you think about it. But yet, at the same time, it's like, well, how do we lean into doing things differently? And part of it is this idea. I mean, if you think about this, okay. So when you woke up the last time you went to work, say, let's talk about when you woke up Friday morning. What did you do? And I'm going to guess what you did that morning is what you did the morning before and the morning before that. And that it was similar, if you will, to the day before. Now, in reality, I mean, you got out of bed. If you were sort of, some of you may have checked your Instagram or your Facebook page to see what's going on there. You had lunch, you ate, you maybe read your Bible, you showered, you dressed, you drove the same way to work or to wherever you were going to hang out, the gym. And yet, at the same time, it's like, it's really this, and it's this first point in your worship notes. And so take a look at this, and let's just talk about this for a second. Much of what we do, well, go ahead and go to the next one. We'll come back to that. Sorry. Much of what you normally do isn't a result of conscious choices, but it's a result of daily habits. So it's what we do, not because we've chosen to do them. It's because this is just what we do. And so for you all that showed up this morning for worship, this is what you do. But you can look around you, you know, the you next to you isn't really there, is it? I mean, it may be next to your spouse or next to a friend, but there's still a lot of open seats. Bill and I were talking about that this morning. There's a lot of opportunity here to invite other people in. And it's interesting that Duke University did a study back in 06 that said over 40% of actions we do daily aren't the result of decision-making. They're actually the result of us just having particular habits, that this is what we're going to lean into. And so if we're going to change our world, we've got to change our habits. And so that's part of this conversation of, well, how do we do that? You know, and last week, Joseph, my friend Joseph Badger was here, and Joseph challenged us to think about, you know, really what is it? And again, our messages are online. And if you missed last week, you'll hop on and you can listen to it. It's really easy. You can find it through the website. But this idea that really he was asking a larger question is, who do you say that God is? And I would suggest, even as I gave testimony to my peers over the last couple of days about Lyndon Rhodes' journey, it's like we really believe that God is in the midst of it. We have to, because the journey we're on currently is complicated. It's complicated because there's resources that we need on a daily basis. Volunteer, Donnie's using the pad this morning so he can sit with his wife. He doesn't have to be up in the booth, but somebody needs to do sound on Sunday morning. We just had a few people leave to go downstairs and just do our kids' ministry because we want to value that as a core value. We want our children to know more about the faith that we as adults embrace. And yet it takes people to do that. Or in your worship program this morning, there's a flyer there for our pots and pans ministry. And just to remind you that we need, and it's kind of funny this morning, you all missed it, but there's a guy, and I can't think what movie it was, where there was like this postman that would always drive down the road, and he would sort of be wild. Well, there's this guy that comes in here in a car on Sunday morning before the rest of you get here, and I hear the door open, and I hear clank, and then I see the car drive out the driveway. And it's like, I don't know who he is, and I'm afraid if I get in his way, he'll run me over. But every time he comes in, there's a box of something left for our Pots and Pans ministry. Now, I don't know who he is, but I think it's so cool that he knows who we are, and he knows we have this mission in the community, and he wants to be part of that. And so it's those kinds of things that we have to think about. Okay, somebody knows what we're doing, but we need to have more people know what we're doing, if you will. So I just want to hit the review button a little bit and talk about where we've been. In one sense, you know, we all know that we all have similar goals, but we all get different results, right? You can go to the gym and say you're going to do this, that, and the other thing, but if you're not leaning into a consistent practice, whether or not you lose 5 pounds this week or you gain 10 pounds next week is all based upon, yeah, you're putting in the energy, but it's about, you know, other things maybe that you're doing. And the other thing is, you remember I said in our first week, is that we don't see progress fast enough. You know, that we're such an immediate culture in our day that we want immediate results that we don't realize it's the long thing. So it goes back to, now you can click this video that we're sort of using for the series, back up one slide, because it's about the little things that we do consistently that eventually have a huge impact. And so just to remind us again, because I think it's such a powerful visual. And we know that if we would have just taken one domino and put it up and said go against the next bigger one, that wouldn't have happened. But you can see it takes this long pushing in the same direction. And I want to suggest that's even been the journey that we've been on for a church for 6 years. I heard some leaders talk this week. I actually had a chance to meet with Dave Vance over at Crossroads. We're just talking about kingdom purposes and common kingdom agendas. And at the same time, realizing that it's these little things that we have to consistently do, and yet the world keeps changing on us, right? And so Amazon, you don't have to worry about watching the football today because the commercials are already out on primetime, Amazon Prime. It's like, no, but that used to be part of the deal, right? And at the same time, it's not that our goals determine our success. It really is our systems determine our success. So one of the things that we use here in our space on a regular basis, and it's always a learning curve for all of us because our lives are busy, but we have this thing called Planning Center. And if you're scheduled to serve on Sunday, usually on Thursday, if you're on the team scheduled to serve, you'll get an email reminder that says, hey, you're scheduled to serve. And the idea is you're not here to do that, then all of a sudden things start coming undone because we've got to find who's going to do plan B or plan C or plan D. And yet, at the same time, the reason why we do that is we want to create an amazing space. I don't know if you've noticed, but part of your generosity and our partnership with Richland Gives, does the morning sound better? Does the sound better today? I mean, the reason is because thanks to some generosity through the Richland County Foundation, our partnership, there's two new speakers. And so I'm hoping, you know, that creates a better experience. Even the idea of the lights that we use. And Dave and I, Vance and I were talking about, you know, does it take lights to get people in? No, but I can remember when we first put some of the lights up, Jerry saying to me how cool it was that the colors sort of help leaning us into the experiences. So like if you think about Christmas, just, you know, what's the colors of Christmas? Red and green, right? And so the sanctuary or you know, Christmas Eve, the dark blues, those are all sort of things to help focus our attention so that our focus can really be on worshiping God. No different than the flowers, and we think we'll get one more week out of them, and then there'll be a stark sanctuary. But the beauty of what all those things bring, and so it's our systems that determine our success, not just our goals. And you remember that in the first week I talked about, I don't want you to do goals for the year. I want you to do who goals. Who do you want to become? And I think it's the same question we need to keep asking ourselves: who do we as a church want to become? And part of that is grounded in who do you want to become. And that's partly what Joseph was trying to get us to see last week, is it really is, if we believe that God's in charge and that God's going to provide, then really we need to understand that we have a partnership in that with him. He can't do it without us. He chooses not to do it without us. He wants to invite us in. Now, he makes certain things work, but even in the last couple of weeks, I've reminded you, Linda had this on her Facebook page recently, this meme that sometimes when you're reminded to pray for people, that actually we're God's answer to the prayer for those individuals because we're doing exactly that. And so in a little bit, when we get into our concerns and celebration time, as we use that time not to do announcements and not to sort of talk about things other than to say, how is it that we're doing? How is it that we are doing as a body? Who is it that we need to to mention so that we can make a note to each other and pray for people as we lean into all that they have. And then you remember two weeks ago, I said that, you know, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And so what I'm trying to do in my own life and what I'm trying to invite you along with is some things that we really have to do consistently if we're going to be a church or a people that are going to make an impact. And one place I want to go, a really powerful example this morning, we've been there a couple times, but I just think it's such a powerful example, is Daniel in the lion's den. Because Daniel had one habit that changed everything in his world. And it's not the habit that necessarily you have to embrace, but it's what made him successful. And we know that when we looked at his life during the Unshakable series, and you can go back and listen to that, that he had a huge impact where over his lifetime, I think he actually made the gospel present to four different kings that he had a chance to walk alongside, who came to a deeper knowledge of God because of his faithfulness. And so let's just look at this first one, his first verse 3. He says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps," basically that's like the powers that be, he made himself stand out amongst all of his peers that were in, you know, important positions, "by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." And I'm going to guess that for Daniel is his spirit of excellence, his sense of dedication, his discipline. And he actually, it's interesting that, you know, why? Well, what was it about Daniel? I mean, I think it's even in our own context that runs alongside that is how we do our pots and pans ministry. And one of the things I've just think has been so cool since I got here 6 years ago is knowing that the various hands that have given leadership there, Margaret and Anna now and Marlene and all the folks in between, is that the boxes, there's some kind of consistency with them. So that if there's some red in the plates and the dishes, there's some red in the towels and the napkins that we give people. Because we want to bless people. And realizing that, first of all, it's mostly used, slightly gently used, although we have been able to give some new things recently. But we want to give someone who's in that season of life. And you all don't get a chance to see that. But usually, I've been at least the one recently, or Carolyn, who have actually been able to hand the box off to people who, even last week, there was a woman who we blessed, and I put the box in her car on Tuesday, and she called back Thursday morning, and she thought she was going to leave a voicemail, but she just wanted to say how thankful she was that she was just looking at what she had on her kitchen table that morning in a new way. Was, you know, it was out of our generosity. And some of you have done, you know that because you've put your sweat equity into actually maybe pulling the boxes together, or you've helped to do the wash and wrap. But it's those things that we just have to really celebrate. And there's a reason behind that. And so the same with Daniel. What was the story behind the story? Let's just, next verse here in chapter 6. What does it say? "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel," because remember, he started practicing just who he was. But they were unable to do so, and they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. It has to be about God. See, and that's what Daniel understood in his journey. And, you know, if you remember his story, he's actually behind enemy lines. He's actually living in the context of giving to the king. Even though the king is not a godly king, he's giving leadership. And I think if you think about your own stories, even in retirement, where God has placed you and the people he's put you in relationship with, that, you know, those are not coincidences. We talked about that this morning in Adult Ed for just a moment. And so we're going to see before the success, Daniel had this habit. So verse 10 is where I want to go real quick here. Is that now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knee and prayed, giving thanks to his God. And what does it say? This is he'd done before. So this is a common practice. This is what he did. This was his habit. And I'm going to suggest that the reason why we are talking about Daniel some 5,000 years later almost is because he leaned into a particular understanding that was good. And it was a habit that was healthy and one that actually ended up changing the world. And what did he do? What was it that he did? He prayed 3 times a day, right? Just as he had done before. It's one small habit. And if you look at your cover of your worship program, or you think about the video we just saw, the idea of that one little domino, the impact of that to the next domino, is actually something that's like incredibly amazing when it leverages it. And we, I think we also have to maybe live into this idea that we never want to underestimate how God can do something big through one small habit. So again, one of the reasons why I keep kicking the tires on your car to say, are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? Are you praying on a regular basis? Because those are the things that are going to change who you are, and I want to suggest are going to change who we are as a church. Because over time, you sort of get this. I mean, I think in my own life, and it's not practices that I've maybe done my entire life. In fact, it's been now, even as I've become a pastor, because I want to be even better at what I do, you know, that it's who I am as a husband, a dad, even a leader. And yet at the same time, I know we all struggle. We don't do it all the time, the things we want to do. But we try to practice it, right? And most of the time. And the interesting thing is you can because of that consistency, you can actually make a difference long term. I mean, for example, as a pastor, I know I need to be spiritually strong, and I know it didn't just happen. So, you know, some of these things start, you know, in when you begin to pull your family together after school. So starting to date Melinda and then moving into a family and the things that we had to do in practice to make that work. And it's not always been easy. You know, it's there's been complications because of just the season of life that you find yourself in and the things that you have to push into, or the idea of reading the Bible daily. I'm not someone who did that. In fact, I'm getting better at it, and partly as I'm challenged to lead you, it's like I've actually started my third year of reading through the entire Bible. I thought it was about time. As a person of sort of mature age, that I should do this. And I can't encourage you to do it if I'm not doing it myself. And so every morning, as part of my regimen, I'm reading the Bible. And actually, I'm loving this idea of reading the Bible, you know, from beginning to end every year. I wish I could journal more, and I really don't do that well. I've tried a number of times, and it seems like when I'm in the moment of something that's really sort of getting my attention, I'll put something in my journal, but to try to figure out, because it's really about creating time to make those things happen, and even the idea of in this time of life that I'm in now of trying to watch my health better, because I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, I remember our good friend Betty Squire when she ended up in the convalescent home looking at me and saying, you know, Pastor Tom, this maturing thing isn't for sissies, right? And, you know, at age 96, and this is a woman who lived life well, and yet realizing those are probably words I ought to hang on, even at age, I don't tell my mom I told you 62. But how did Daniel set himself apart? It was his faith to stare down. How did he have the faith to stare down the line? He started with his daily habit of praying, of seeking God in prayer. And so here's the next point. Based on who you want to become, what one habit do you need to start? And actually, on your worship notes, I've got a few lines there for you to ponder that, not just in the moment, but, you know, in the day, later today, maybe before the big game. You know, what is one thing, one habit that you need to start this very moment, this day, to maybe make life? And it doesn't have to be big, but it's better if it's small, because, you know, this is the problem. You don't want to hit the snooze button, or you don't want to get on Instagram, you know, or Facebook. But getting up 15 minutes early so that you have that time to read the scriptures. If you want to be someone who cares, how about this? Write one note of appreciation today. Want to be a person that's organized? Make your bed first thing, students. You know, don't wait until the night. You know, do it, because then you can lean into it, right? Want to be a godly example? Parent, I'm talking to parents now, to your child or grandchild. You know, do a Bible plan together. There's this amazing app, especially if you could get the phone out and actually use it for something that's productive. You know, there's all sorts of Bible plans that you can lean into together. Want to be a person that's focused? Start the day with a list of three priorities. It doesn't have to be a lot, but the idea, and I'm not there yet. I actually have been using this particular kind of journal for a leadership journal. It comes every quarter. And, you know, the idea is, what are my top three? And you know, I'm mapping that out. Some days there's things here, and some days it's like, yeah, I missed that one, like I did on Friday, because Friday was a busy day. And so you don't want to beat yourself up, but the idea is, what are the things that you can do to help grow yourself? You want to be a person who's healthier? Well, you know, here's one real quick one. Don't drink soft drinks. I was sitting with a guy yesterday who's one of our pastors down south of Zanesville. he gave up caffeine 2 years ago and all soft drinks and just talked about the energy he had. And I'm pounding down my third big mug of coffee. But he's telling me that what he's found in doing that. And I'm thinking, boy, should I do that? I don't know. So what I want to talk about just briefly this morning in a particular way to make it really practical is how do you create a new habit? And actually, Joseph sort of showed us this last week, but I want to unpack it more because for us as a church, we need to figure that out too. What is this new thing that we could be doing in the community together to make a difference? And it's about creating a system. And you may argue to me, well, I don't have a system. Well, the truth is you do. Your system may be that you don't have a system, and it's complete chaos. And it's even the idea that today, Marie Kondo that's got the YouTube channel that shows you how to get your house in order. And you know, this is a big deal today. And why is it that on the 1st of January, if you've gone into Home Depot, all the Christmas stuff was pushed to the side, and they have all these, racks and carts, for all your storage because they want to help you get organized for the year, right? But there's this, you've got it in your worship program, and it's on the back side. It's this habit loop. And so we'll come back to that one in just a second. But it's this idea that let's start here. So how do you create a new habit? First of all, you need to make it obvious and you need to make it easy. And this is one of the reasons why so many people fail just doing the health thing. So then how does that work? Well, Joseph talked about this last week, but let's look at this graphic again that's on your worship program. That you start with a trigger, and then that trigger actually moves to an action, and then there's a reward that comes from it. And they call this the habit loop. In fact, I'm reading this one book called Atomic Habits, but there's all sorts of books that are out right now. This is sort of the cultural buzzword about how do we, because our lives are so busy, right? I mean, we map these things out, and even in our small space, you all are just too busy. I mean, if you look at your calendars together, we'd all get tired of just like, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff in front of us, whether it's what you do to take care of the grandkids or what you're doing to volunteer in the community, all these things. But the idea is, how do we make things obvious and easy? It's not what's best. If you want to change what you do, you change what you see. So let's talk about the obvious cue. So, for example, if you want to take vitamins on a daily basis, don't leave them in the drawer. Actually, put them out the night before and put them on the counter so that it's the first thing you see when you get up in the morning in your bedroom. Or if you want to read before you go to bed, here's what you do. Don't leave the book on the shelf. When you get up in the morning, take the book off the shelf and put it on your pillow so that when you get to bed that night, the book's right there ready for you. I mean, these are very simple things. But it allows you to sort of begin to become strategic. And then even the idea of you want to write a note daily, put a card on your desk if you're in the office so that it's right there in front of you so that you can lean into it. So that's the first thing, make it obvious. But then how do we make it easy? Okay. Well, first of all, the idea of reading the Bible, in a year is like, for some people, it's like, I can't do that. But how about just doing one verse a day? How about, just leaning into... For example, when you make your pot of coffee or your cup of tea in the morning, that you have your Bible or your phone right there and you read one verse. That's all you have to do. And I just promise you that if you lean into it, it's back to the video we saw of one domino leaning into the next domino, into the next domino, that eventually you get this momentum. And I even think that the journey we're on as a church, one of the reasons why I think we're in the middle of these big questions, one of the things that's been going on behind the scenes, there's been a handful of people that have been reading their Bible on a regular basis. Katrina shared about it last week. And there's others who have been doing it in a public way, but Dan does it. But there's others of us that are leaning into it. And I don't think that's unrelated to the fact that God's asking us even some more questions about who we are. So many people think they lack the motivation. It's not the motivation. It's what you really lack is a system. And so it's not about reaching your goals. It's not a goal problem. It's a system problem. So that, all I'm trying to do, and so I actually have there in your worship notes, and this is for you to think about later, but I will do blank after I do blank. And that's really for you to think about whatever the action is you're looking for. So what did Daniel do after he ate? What did he do three times a day? He prayed. So after he ate, he prayed. And then after he ate, he prayed. And it became a habit. So after I get up and make my oatmeal or make my toast, I'm going to read my Bible. That's sort of, it's those kinds of practical things. And it doesn't have to be the whole chapter. you can read just one verse. I mean, here's a quick, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to do Bible reading, the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters. If you really want a goal, read a chapter a day. You can remember, what day am I on? Well, today's day what? Day two? So I'm going to read Proverbs 2, and tomorrow I'll read Proverbs 3. And the idea, there are some great men and women of Scripture, Beth Moore and Charles Stanley and all sorts of other men of influence, literally back in the day even, where one of the things that they did is they actually read through the book of Psalms every month. I mean, like, you think about that, that's a big book. But yet, you wonder why we would talk about their names today is because they were leaning into these habits that actually changed who they were. So after I make my coffee, I'm going to read one Bible verse. Or after I put my kids to bed, I'm going to do a 30-second plank on the floor, you know, to work on my abs. After I brush my teeth, I'm going to take a journal and I'm going to write one sentence. I don't have to write a book, just one sentence. And again, these are things, I don't know what your life is like, but if there's things you're trying to do, this is just some practical ways of getting around that. After I journal one sentence, and I'm going to actually thank God for what he's done for me, maybe. One thing. And see, here's why. And it goes back to the scripture from Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10. He says what? Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And I think that's part of the journey that God's inviting us into. And I think that he's actually created some amazing opportunities, and I'm not really going to name them. I'm going to make you think about them, where some little things have happened in a positive way, and God's really wanting to know, are we going to be faithful in a big way to him, and really trust him for his perspective. Because you see, our momentum of what we do daily changes who we are individually. It also changes who we are corporately. You know, if you're dissatisfied, if you're discontented, and you want something more, it's not just so goals, not just coming up with goals, but it's about who do you want to become. You know, I'm not successful when I hit my goal somewhere in the future. I'm successful when I've honored God today. And I think that was one of the questions we actually wrestled with yesterday as we wrapped up our day together with our Presbyterian leaders, is that, is God honored by what we've done today? Not just what we did there, but even like when we finish up worship here and we all head off to do our thing, you know, can we say that God was honored with our time? The things we've done and the energy we've put in, is he honored with that? Because see, here's where it's interesting. So we all know, what was the news this week? What happened last Sunday as we came? Kobe Bryant. So we have Kobe Bryant, okay, the Lakers. And what's extraordinary about Kobe is, first of all, I mean, we all knew his name, but we really know his name, right? Because of the Travis tragedy that not only he went through, but his daughter and then the seven other people that were on the plane with him. Now, here's where I'm trying to get you to go, because part of the reality is those of us that are Presbyterians, is that we have all this head knowledge, but the problem we have is really inviting people into relational knowledge. And so I want to show you a video here. Do you know the name Pat Williams? Does that name ring a bell? Pat was the founder of the Orlando Magic. So he's actually the senior vice president of the Orlando Magic, a basketball team in Orlando. He's been around the basketball thing for years for the NBA. One of the things that I can tell you about Pat Williams is he's also a lover of Jesus, and he's actually an amazing leadership guru. And so he's written a number of books on how do we lead, particularly for men, how do men become better leaders. And, you know, women, you can punch your husbands, like, yeah, maybe you should look at that. But some really, what are the 12 things that every man needs to know, I think is one of his most recent books. But what I want you to see is in this video is he was invited to come to Fox News and share what he knew about Kobe. Now, he'll share with you in a moment, and you'll hear it, but let me just repeat because I think it stands out. One of the things that you'll find out is that he knew Kobe. Even can tell you how Kobe got his name. He actually, even more importantly, knew Kobe's dad. But what's interesting is in the midst of that conversation, and what I want you to see is it's not just about Kobe, but it's about this guy, Pat Williams. And okay, he's a mature Christ follower. But how in the moment, because of where God has placed him, what he does with his place on the TV set. And listen to what he turns the conversation to. Because these are the things of what people really, if you would take some time and go to the DeWalt Center or even just go to Target and talk to some people walking through, people who are living their lives, you'll find out it's complicated and messy. But the hope of the gospel, and that's the thing that we're trying to offer. But check out this interview about how in the midst of that interview, he realizes the weight of his presence. place. Now, none of us, and I don't think any of you in the room are going to be invited, you know, when there's a national disaster to speak on Fox News. But I just think how Pat Williams knew his place and knew the opportunity, and he did it partly because I'm going to guess if we would ask him what his daily habits are, some of the things that we know about Daniel and some of the things we've even talked about this morning are part of who he is. And he realizes, because I think it's amazing if you think about how people responded to Kobe's death. I mean, it's like we don't know what to do with it. And I think Pat is right to even tie into the issue of Diana's death. I mean, we see these things that are so senseless. But see, this is the thing that even we as Presbyterians, I think in a particular way, I think our theology and I think our presence in our communities really lends itself to this idea of offering hope. When life doesn't make sense, we have to believe that there's a certain order to our world that we just have to lean into, whether it's the story of Job or whether it's our own personal stories. And so those are the things that we have to begin to think about and think about the habits that we can create to be in relationship, because most of the problem that we have in our faith journey is that we collectively, for the most part, are not engaged in conversations with people who are far from God. We're sitting with our own. And that's okay because we need that kind of camaraderie. But if we want to really be a church that's impacting the community, we have to have some more interesting conversations and get ourselves outside of the building. So even yesterday, Matt asked me to share some of the things that we've done even in the last 6 months. And you'll remember back in September, some of us actually went outside and we went off in three different directions. And some of you all even stayed in the building. And we prayer walked our neighborhood. And partly just to be aware of people who are around us. And I remember one of the things that was said to us as we came back and debriefed was this idea that there's lots of people that are sitting at home on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or 11:15, which means there's opportunities there. Now, how do we move people from where they are to where we want them to be to join us in this journey, to help us with the Pots and Pans ministry, or to help us love on our neighbors, to go volunteer at St. Luke's, or to help, as Lynn did and some of you did at Christmas time, with giving, you know, cookies to the volunteers. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we haven't even begun to unpack. And so that's part of this journey that we're on. And so we're successful when we honor God. And I think that's really the tension. That's what Joseph reminded us of last week. It's really like, who do we say he is? And then even in our current journey, as we talk next week about our finances and our future as a church, it's like, do we believe that God's in charge? Do we really believe that he is the God who he says he is and he will provide? Or are we going to live in fear? And I want to be a person who lives with the uncertainty that this much I know, that our God is a God of kindness and a God of abundance. One more quick story. So I don't know if this makes sense to you. This is a personal story. So 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, Allison Williams, who is a youth pastor in Seymour, Indiana, Allison's 36, and she has been serving the small church in Indiana for about 12 years, just doing her thing. She's single. But she went to an event in January in Gatlinburg with a bunch of students, and she contracted the flu. She had taken the flu shot, but then when she got back home, she got ill. And instead of doing the thing and going to the doctor, because she had gotten the flu shot, I'll be okay, she got sicker and sicker and sicker. And 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, she passed away from cardiac arrest because she got sepsis. Now, you know, in the moment, it's like, and my youth ministry friends are like all really like, I mean, it just has taken, took the church out, because you can imagine she's given her life to the church there and the youth group and all that. But even she had just recently, just because of the things she's been doing, she's been invited to some national conversations where she was presenting about women in ministry and just how do you do this and how do you be single. But in God's kindness and his economy, you know, here's what happened. So Allison was actually hosting or helping to host a youth pastors conference in Seymour, Indiana, on a week ago Thursday. It was scheduled. And 5 months prior to that, another friend of mine, a guy who I've known for 30 years, Mark Ostreicher, Marco we call him, big rotund guy, big beard, just has a jovial spirit. He's literally travels over the world to teach churches how to, and youth workers how to work with students. He was scheduled to be at that youth conference. Now, the beauty of God's kindness is, as this church and this community, if I had to pick one person who I was going to say, I've got a mission for you, when I found out that Allison had passed, it's like, this is the guy. If I had to throw somebody out of an airplane, literally with a parachute, to come say, come in and rescue the broken hearts of these people who are there on the ground, this is exactly the guy I would send. Now, we can see it in hindsight, but the beauty of seeing God's kindness that as Marco made, and then the weight that he felt, he's like, he reached out to a bunch of us and said, will you please pray? Because they've now asked me, and I'm working through my own grief because she was a personal friend. Now, I share that because that's my story, but even in your own stories, what is it that God is doing? Who is it that you know or the people around you that God may want to drop you in with a parachute to meet them in their needs? And that's really the tension for us as Christ followers, is to figure that out and to trust that if we're walking with him, he'll figure it out for us. He's going to let us know. Trust me on that. That's the thing I've seen consistently in my life, at least in the last decade especially, is how God continues to show up in those ways. And that's the journey that we're trying as a presbytery to invite our other folks to walk along with us, knowing that it doesn't feel like it did, that there's things to it that are uncertain. And so in a moment, we're actually going to sing a song, and it's a video lyric, but it's a song that we all know well, Amazing Grace, but Chris Tomlin actually tweaked it and added another verse about how my chains are gone, and how when we think about the element of that's really what people that we have relationship with on a daily basis want to hear, is to know that God's going to accept me and that my brokenness and the things that enslave me, that God's going to take care of them, but I have to do my part. And so with that, let me pray and then we'll stand and sing. So God, in all these things, we're just grateful that you just want us to pursue you. And so this morning, as we've just looked at some practical ways of how do we just create things in our lives that can help move us and create momentum, I just pray your Holy Spirit would help us do that. Thanks for loving us, and thank you for the provision you've given for us to be here together this morning. It's not by coincidence, it's by design. And so this morning, as we lean into just the time we have together and as we go and do our own things, may your Holy Spirit just guide and direct us. But Jesus, thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for setting our chains free so that we can become the men and women, young and old, that you desire for us. And we just pray it in your most precious name. And all God's people together said, amen. Would you please stand and we'll sing.